Welcome to Double Take with Matt and Jake. This is Jake. Reminding you, as always, subscribe, rate, review. 5 stars only. It's on Apple, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, really wherever you get your podcasts. And joined by Matt, as always. Matt, where do you get your podcasts, might I ask?
I'm an Apple podcast guy.
I am too. I'm an Apple guy myself. And that's where most of the reviews are at. But again, anywhere you get your podcast, we appreciate it. It helps us out. Helps you out if you subscribe, because every time we come out with an episode, especially the last month or so, they've been a bit sporadic as far as the scheduling. So you subscribe, get that notification right away. But whatever you do, wherever you get your podcast, we're here for you. Here's what we're going to talk about today. MLS playoffs decision Sunday or decision day was yesterday. We're recording this on Monday the 7th, so it's Sunday. MLS playoffs are starting, so we're going to talk about that. The MLB playoffs are underway. So we're going to talk a bit about that. The WNBA championship is going on right now, or that series between the Connecticut Sun and the Washington Mystics. Matt, let's talk baseball playoffs. So let me just give you a recap, then you can kind of spitball. Most of this conversation is going to be about the MLS playoffs, because that's just starting. There's 7 teams in there. We're big soccer guys, but let's talk a little baseball. So Matt, going on right now, the Nationals are up on the Dodgers, so if that holds, that series will be tied 2-2. Yankees are up 1-0 on the Twins. Yankees are probably going to win that series. The Rays beat the Astros today, so the Astros are up 2-1 in that series, but I think the Astros are going to win pretty easily tomorrow to win that series. And then Braves and Cardinals had a crazy game today. Went to 10 innings. Cardinals came back and won. Matt, I know you like baseball, especially in the playoffs, but you don't watch a whole lot of it. Have you seen any playoff action so far?
I have not seen any playoff action so far, actually. No, like you said, I can watch in the playoffs. It's hard for me to watch during the regular season. With the Giants not in it, less so than other years they have been in. But yeah, this is, I usually skip the wild cards and I come in, you know, sort of about this time, see, you know, when the series are 2-1, 2-2, and that's when I sort of like to come in and see what's happening. Because for me, that's, you know, when the stakes are highest and when things start to get interesting, right here in October.
Yeah, and, you know, what I like about the playoffs that's interesting is you'll see, like in the Dodgers National Series, for example, the Dodgers have a pitcher who only comes in when Nationals left fielder Juan Soto's at bat. Like, his whole job the whole series is to just get one out of Juan Soto. The Nationals, Max Scherzer's pitched in relief. He's starting his second game of the series. Started the wild card, pitched in relief against the Dodgers. So this is his third appearance already in the playoffs. The Cardinals had their starting pitcher started game one of that series against the Braves. He came on in relief today, and I think he got the save because they ended up winning that next inning. Yadier Molina hit a walk-off sacrifice fly. I love the playoffs. I like watching baseball more than I think most people do during the regular season. Playoffs are awesome. I think Houston's going to win it. I don't know if we've talked about that or not. I think they're going to beat the Rays tomorrow to win that series. If the Nationals can beat the Dodgers today and then make it go to a fifth series, I think that'll be huge for whoever wins that Braves Cardinals series, because they're playing the Dodgers in the NLCS, that championship round. I like the Braves to beat the Cardinals. They're going back to Atlanta for game 5 at home, which in this round, it's the best of 5. So I like the Braves win that game, and the Braves have a shot against the Dodgers. Dodgers are much more talented, but the Braves do have a shot. And so I think it's going to be Astros Dodgers, just like a couple years ago, but Yankees hit enough home runs where they're in any game, and Braves have more of a shot against the Dodgers than I think some people are giving them credit for.
Yep. I agree with that. I'm also, I think Houston's probably a little bit better team. You know, home runs are great. It's kind of like 3-point shooting, though. If it's gone a game, then it can really, really hurt you. So teams that don't depend on that quite as much, not that Houston and can hit home runs, but just that they're not as dependent as the Yankees. And so I think they have the, probably the smoothest path, just having Tampa Bay right now.
Yeah, and the Astros have Garrett Cole, Justin Verlander, and Zach Greinke, which is the best three-man rotation in baseball, especially in the playoffs when you get a little extra more rest than you do during a normal regular season. The rotation gets shortened up. You can pitch those guys more often, so they can take care of business at home, or excuse me, in Tampa. Get an extra day of rest for that staff, then that'll be big for them. So look for the Astros. That's where I would bet my money, but that I'm not going to bet. But if I were going to bet, I'd bet on the Astros. A quick football break, Matt, just before we go into soccer. Watching the Monday Night Football right now. 49ers are up 21-3 on the Browns, just scored. The 49ers did. Give me a minute to 2 minutes on Cleveland. What do you think's wrong? You think they're, let's say the score holds, they're 2-3. You think they were overhyped in the summer? You think this is kind of normal? You think there's any issues? What's your opinion on what's going on with the Browns right now?
Remind me which team we're talking about.
Cleveland Browns.
And they play in?
The National Football League.
What city?
Cleveland.
Okay. I think we could just end there, and that might be enough.
Oh, I thought you just couldn't hear me or something.
No. No, I just – that's really – I just think that all we need to know about Cleveland – but you know, to be a little bit more elaborate for the purpose of the podcast, I just think, you know, they've got a lot of talent, but they're inexperienced. You know, Baker Mayfield, it's his second year in the league. You know, really all their best players are within their first 2 or 3 years in the league, and so I just don't really think they know how to win yet. I mean, even like Odell Beckham Jr., he's been in the league a little bit longer. I don't know if he's been in the league long enough to be a veteran, even though he would be on that team. But, like, he hasn't really won before. So I think that's a problem. I think a lot's been made about the head coach. Not real. Because, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, he hasn't even been an offensive coordinator.
No, yet. You beat me to it. Because I was going to say my problem with the Browns, this was all offseason. Really, the only question mark I had for them was Freddie Kitchens, their head coach. Because last year he was a running backs coach. And now he's the offensive coordinator, now he's the head coach just because he gets along with Baker Mayfield, and that's important. But we saw with Tampa, they fired Lovie Smith to promote, this was several years ago, a couple head coaches ago for Tampa Bay, but they fired Lovie Smith, who's the head coach. Now he's at Illinois, like University of Illinois, to promote Dirk Cutter from offensive coordinator to head coach because Dirk Cutter got along with Jameis Winston. And I think we saw how that worked out. I think some NFL GMs, some NFL owners think, oh, this guy gets along with the quarterback. That's who we want. But getting along with your quarterback isn't the most important thing about coaching. That's an offensive coordinator. That's quarterback coach. That's fantastic. You want to have a great relationship. But I don't think Belichick and Tom Brady are best friends, and they've done okay. You know what I'm saying?
So, right, yeah. And even like – you know, it's obviously not bad if they get along, but it's not. It shouldn't be necessarily at the top of the list. Partly because, like you said, that just isn't the relationship that all of these successful coaches and quarterbacks have. But also, I just think there's more important things in a head coach than getting along with a quarterback. One of them being getting along with the other 51 players on the team.
Yeah, because I'm not saying you want your quarterback and head coach to not like each other. I'm just saying hiring a head coach, the number one thing you're looking for shouldn't be, does the quarterback like him? You know, that's obviously should have some role, especially if it's quarterback like Aaron Rodgers. We saw that with Matt LaFleur in the offseason. That kind of caused a bit of drama in Green Bay. Like, how would Aaron Rodgers get along with Matt LaFleur, whatever coach Green Bay hired? But Baker's not at a point in his career where he's in the middle of his second year right now. And I love Baker Mayfield. I think you know that. If you listen to the podcast, you probably know that. I'm as high on Baker as I think anybody is. But he's not at the point in his career where his opinion should have any dictation in who the Browns hire as the head coach.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree with that. So I think, you know, the season will be good for him. I mean, they still have a chance to make the playoffs because – you know, now that Ben Roethlisberger's out, then I don't really know what's going to be going on with Pittsburgh. Baltimore apparently is good, so we'll see how that lasts. So I'm not counting them out of the playoffs yet, but I do think they need, you know, another year, probably before they get a good enough seed to actually make a run in the playoffs.
Yeah, I and I would say as well to that that Baltimore, they're 3-2. One of those losses is against Cleveland. Cleveland looked pretty solid against them. So let's say Cleveland loses this San Francisco game. They're still only a game behind Baltimore and a team they beat pretty soundly. So they still got to start the playoffs, but I'm not going to be convinced Freddie Kitchens is the guy there. Matt, let's shift from football to football. Talk about the MLS playoffs. Here's how we're going to break it down. So there's 7 teams in each conference, and I'm really excited about this. I know not everybody in the United States loves soccer, and last I checked, most of the people listening to this podcast are the United States. So please don't tune out. If you do, I understand, but please listen. Please, this is going to be very interesting, and here's why. MLS soccer is actually a lot better than a lot of people give them credit for. The growth of the league from, let's say, 10 years ago to now in terms of the talent of players and the level of players that are coming in has been really remarkable. So it's going to be an exciting playoffs. Here's how they work. So the first round is just a 1-game winner goes to the next round. Then the next 2 rounds are a home and home. So let's say Real Salt Lake is playing Seattle, for example, or whoever. So Real Salt Lake would play a game in Seattle. Seattle would also play a second game in Salt Lake City. And then whoever has the most goals in those out after those 2 games goes on to the next round. If there's a tie, the tiebreaker is away goals. So if you're watching the playoffs and you see something like Portland leads like 2-2 on aggregate, that means Portland probably has more away goals than whoever they're playing. So, and that's kind of what makes it interesting. Like playoff soccer, just like playoff baseball, is a completely different game. Playoff soccer is a completely unique scenario situation for these teams. So, like, even if you're like winning a game, you still could be losing. So it's just a whole game within a game. I love watching it. Matt, I know you love watching it. Matt, do you want to start in the East or the West?
Let's start in the East.
Let's start in the East. So New York City FC is the number 1 seed. So they get a bye. Still think that's a stupid name for a team. So Matt, I'll go over the matchups, give my 2 cents, let you do most of the talking after that. Toronto is playing DC United. Toronto is a team I saw in person, Matt, when I went to that LAFC game. And I'll just say Yossi Altidore is enormous. He could play outside linebacker in the NFL, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, no, dude.
Then you got Philadelphia playing New York Red Bulls. I like the Red Bulls in that matchup. Then you got Atlanta playing New England. And I think the Atlanta-New England matchup is the most interesting. One, on New England's side, their head coach, Bruce Arena, used to coach the LA Galaxy. He was the interim coach for the men's now. Might have been the full-time coach, but after Jurgen Klinsmann got fired, Bruce Arena was actually the coach when the U.S. national team lost to Trinidad and Tobago and failed to make the World Cup. But under him, New England's gone from they were near the bottom of the East to they got a playoff spot. Atlanta's the defending champions. They got Yosef Martinez, who last year was considered to be the best player in the league. That kind of got taken over by Carlos Vela this year. Matt, I think they got a shot to be upset by New England.
Yeah, they definitely have a shot. New England's doing better than they have in a long time. I just think Atlanta's got too much talent. They've got Brad Guzan in goal. Like you said, they've got Yosef Martinez, who's really, really dangerous. And then the other thing is they've been there before. And I think in the MLS, as much as in any other league, teams who have been in the playoffs before tend to have success. With New England, it's been a couple of years. I know they've got Bruce Arena. But, you know, the coach probably, you know, once the game actually gets going, I think impacts the game less than certainly with baseball or football or even really the basketball. Because really, the players are just got to out there and the coach can relay messages, but a lot of the times the players just got to figure it out for themselves. So I just think Atlanta, you know, having won the cup last year, this being their 3rd year in a row of making the playoffs, I think that's the thing that puts them over the edge.
Can I do a quick football, like American football break, just something that happened in this Browns game, and then go back to that? I was listening to everything you said, by the way. But Nick Bosa just got a sack on Baker Mayfield. And if you remember in college, when Baker Mayfield was at Oklahoma, they went to Ohio State, won that game. And then Baker Mayfield planted the OU flag in the middle of Ohio State's field. You remember that? Nick, I do. Think most of our listening audience probably will. Nick Bosa, a proud Ohio State, I don't think he graduated, proud Ohio State former member of the university. He got the sack and then he pretended like he was waving a flag and stuck it in the ground. It was pretty funny. Sorry.
That is back funny.
Soccer.
Yeah. No, beef is good. I love beef.
Yeah. No, this game, it's a really interesting 21-3 game. But, Matt, what do you think of the Red Bulls? I thought the Red Bulls would finish higher than they did this year. And I think they're going to come out of that series against Philadelphia. And I think they're probably my pick right now to go to the Eastern Conference Finals on that side of the bracket.
Really?
Red Bulls, yeah.
That's interesting. You know, I do like the Red Bulls, mostly because, like you, I also hate NYCFC. Too many letters. And I think, you know, if they win, it's going to be because they've, I think, had at least recently more playoff success in Philadelphia. I don't know that they've had a ton since Jesse Marsh left to go coach Leipzig, I believe, is the team. It's whoever's, you know, also gets sponsored by the Red Bulls. Is he went to the team under the same ownership group.
By the way, there. American, I think he's the first American manager in Champions League in Europe.
I would believe it.
Killing it. So he honestly, again, not to, I keep getting distracted, but I think based on what he's done over in Germany as a manager and the success he had at MLS, I know Berhalter's doing a good job, we'll say, maybe an undecided job yet with the men's national team, but I would love Marsh to get a shot at some point just based on what he's doing.
Yeah, no, I think it's good. I think we let him go sit in Europe for a couple of years. And soccer coaches tend to have higher turnover than a lot of other sports. So maybe he would be good for – maybe we can get him in for that World Cup when Christian Pulisic's like 27 or 28. You know, because I think that's going to be probably our best World Cup team for a while.
If we have time when we're done with this, Matt, we should talk about Pulisic and Chelsea. But we'll stick with the MLS for now. But
okay. Cool. So anyway, why I'm picking Philadelphia over the Red Bulls, I think Philadelphia has more high-end talent. The Red Bulls have got a lot of really good young players. Philadelphia, they've got Bedoya, though, who's been a really good player on the U.S. men's national team for a while. They're a full 7 points ahead of the Red Bulls, which is a lot of points. It's a lot more wins. And I think that shows that it's a better team.
Okay. Okay, I feel you. Well, Matt, the Toronto, unlike New England, who started at the bottom, now they're here. DC United, I feel like, has been sliding. Wayne Rooney thing has been weird kind of last few months of the year. I'm going Toronto, and I feel very – that's the one I feel most confident about in that game, Toronto over DC United.
Yeah, which is so weird because last year I was really, really high on DC United as well. But it just, yeah, you know, like you said, it just hasn't been working recently. You know, looking at the last few games, they've got tie. Yeah, they lost to Philadelphia a little bit ago. They lost to the Red Bulls recently. They do have wins over Portland, Montreal, and a Seattle one, which is pretty big. But yeah, no, Rooney just hasn't been as impactful as he was right when he got into the league. And Toronto, you know, they've been having a really, really hard time ever since they won MLS Cup. They finally, you know, seem to have whatever was missing figured out. So I think that this matchup with DC might be a good chance to get some momentum for them.
Matt, can anyone in the East beat NYCFC? I think they can obviously pick the Red Bulls. I think Toronto could. I think Atlanta, honestly, I think a lot of teams could, even though they're number one seed. But what do you think? Do you think they got a realist? I think NY, what do you think about NYCFC or whatever they are coming out of the East?
Yeah, we got a couple of
just
a
so many
name.
Letters. Even if it was like NYFC, like just New York Football Club, that sounds so much better than the second C in there.
Yeah, there's a lot of C's. There's a lot of C's. So the problem with the team from New York, who is not the Red Bulls, is that they play their games in Yankee Stadium, which I'm sure is complicated with the playoffs going on. But more importantly, being constrained to a baseball stadium, it's very, very small for a soccer stadium. I mean, I don't know what Yankee Stadium is compared to, Fenway or where the Giants play or to Petco or anything like that. But for a soccer field, it makes for a very, very small playing surface, because it's not like the Raiders where they can go into the infield and play on top of the dirt. It's soccer, so they have to be on grass. So they're really constricted to only playing the outfield. And so New York, they get all year to practice playing really almost like indoor football, where it's a lot of really short, fast passes. And so they, I think, because of that, have the biggest home field advantage of anybody in Major League Soccer. And so for that reason alone, I would probably pick them, just because they're the number one seed. They're going to have home field advantage throughout the Eastern Conference playoffs.
Okay, I can do that. Yeah, I honestly, for all I complain about them, I think it's a legit complaint that they play in Yankee Stadium, because A, it's going to get really complicated with baseball playoffs coming up. B, just get a stadium. Just get your own stadium, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I mean, I know that real estate in New York is expensive, but, like, and for the fans, that's got to be a drag, too, you know? Like, if you're sitting on the other side of the baseball field or, like, the other side of the infield, like, because I can't imagine they put bleachers up on the baseball field. Like, that can't be possible, right?
I'm surprised the Yankees let them play on the field at all, to be honest with you.
Right, yeah, it's like, why do the Yankees need more money?
I don't know. So, okay, well... Matt, let's shift to the West real quick. We'll do LAFC last, who they're the best team in MLS history, so that might be a pretty quick discussion. But so they'll play the winner of Minnesota LA Galaxy. I'm cheering for the Galaxy to win, so we get a El Trafico matchup in the playoffs. The other side of the bracket, you got Salt Lake playing Portland, that's in Salt Lake City, and then Seattle playing Dallas. I thought Dallas would finish higher. But Matt, which game do you want to start with out of those ones?
Let's do Real Portland. You know, that's Real's our team. So let's start there.
That's the team where obviously Matt and I are from Salt Lake, so grew up going to Real Salt Lake games. That's when we really started to fall in love with MLS as a whole, as a league, and specifically Real Salt Lake. Last time they played Portland, the game was in Portland, and the Timbers won 1-0. This game's in Salt Lake City, though. I think honestly these two teams match up pretty evenly. I want to say Real Salt Lake's going to win, but I think that's more biased than anything. I think it's going to be a very close game, probably to possibly going into extra time.
Yeah, no, I mean, I could see that. The thing, Portland is another team that has a very good home field advantage, not because they have an odd field or anything like that, but because the fans in Portland are just such great fans. I mean, they've had a great fan base, you know, when the team was in USL, long before they came up to the big leagues, you could say, with Major League Soccer. They support their women's soccer team better than anybody else in the country, I think. And so their fans are great. So anytime we can play Portland away from Portland, that's a really big help. So I'm picking Real. I just think they're on a roll. You know, they've got depth in all positions. Maybe less so depth in the midfield, but a lot of depth up front and with our defenders. I think that we've been playing really well under Freddy Juarez. And the other thing is healthy. We've had a lot of playoff runs where we've had a lot of injuries. Most of the players on the team are healthy right now. And so I think that is going to be really nice for Real to go into the playoffs, to host a playoff game, which hasn't happened in a long time, to be healthy, which also hasn't happened in a long time. Right. So I'm going to go with Real.
And then they'll play the winner, Seattle-Dallas. Seattle's another team that has a good home field advantage, but the stadium is, because they play in the Seahawks stadium, so it doesn't feel like as much home field advantage. Their thing is they play on turf as well. I like I said earlier, I thought Dallas was going to finish higher than they did, but everybody in the West was so close. I'm going to pick Dallas in this game over Seattle, but I don't feel great about it.
Okay. Yeah, I'm picking Seattle. They've been playing very, very well, particularly the second half of the season. And Seattle's one of those teams that, you know, they might struggle the beginning, but then they get hot in the second half. And they've made a couple of really deep runs in MLS, not with everybody who's on this team, but with a lot of the players who are on the team right now. And so I think that is real. That's going to be a big advantage for them compared to Dallas, who's made the playoffs pretty consistently, but it's been a while since I've seen them, you know, advance very far.
So you're going to Seattle. What about the Minnesota Galaxy game? I like the Galaxy. Ibrahimovic is one of the best goal scorers in the league. I think they're better than the fifth team, but just like kind of how points broke down, they end up being the fifth seed. I'm going with the Galaxy over Minnesota, but it is in Minnesota, so they're not playing in Los Angeles that game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the thing, I do not believe in this Galaxy team. I think they're worse than most people think they are. So the most goals allowed besides the Galaxy is 49. Portland's allowed 49 goals, and the Sounders have allowed 49 goals. The Galaxy have allowed 59, so 10 more goals than any other team in the Western or in conference playoffs. And, you know, they can score all they want, but, you know, once you get into the playoffs, defense starts to be really, really important. You know, Minnesota is one of the higher scoring teams in the playoffs and in the Western Conference with 52 goals. So I think Minnesota is more consistent. I think they're more well-balanced. And I just, you know, haven't seen the Galaxy play well enough for me to trust them. And, you know, they've missed the playoffs for one or two years, and so they don't really have the playoff experience they used to. They don't have Bruce Arena helping them,
well,
so they don't have that experience either.
Not feeling great because I think we disagreed on every pick right there in the Western Conference. So,
ooh. Yeah. I mean, I'm boring. I mean, I picked the high seeds. Even in the Eastern Conference, I think I picked all of the high seeds. But those, I don't know.
Yeah, that's true.
They're higher seeds for a reason, I guess.
You're right more often than not. Well, let's do this, yeah. Matt. Same question. I think I know the answer to this one. Do you think anyone in the West can realistically beat LAFC? Who, again, I think, and most people agree with me, best team in MLS history up to this point.
If I'm picking somebody, I'm going to pick Seattle. They're coming into the playoffs hot. And Seattle, they're just one of those teams that does well in the playoffs. But I sort of expect LAFC to have a similar season to Atlanta, what they did last year, which was Atlanta, first year in the league, they made the playoffs, lost in the first round, next year won the whole thing. LAFC last year was their first year in the league, lost in the first round of the playoffs to Real. This year, I see them, you know, understanding what a playoff environment is like. I see them going all the way this year. But if anybody is going to beat them, it's going to be Seattle. I think Real Salt Lake is capable. I think that they have the defense. I think Nick Raimondo can still pull off some heroics. But they would need a... that they would need sort of a not a fluky game, but they would need everything to break right for them, even more so
okay,
than Seattle
so you,
would.
You think Seattle's the best shot at beating LAFC?
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. I mean, it'd be interesting to see like if the Galaxy end up advancing to the next round, and then Zlatan does Zlatan things and scores three goals. You know that. Sometimes if you can have an impact player like that who takes over a game, that's the other way to do it. And, you know, looking at these other teams, nobody's got an impact player quite like Zlatan. So that would be the other way to have it, but I just don't see the defense being capable of stopping Carlos Vela and everybody else
I
for
think
LAFC.
I'd probably go with the Galaxy as well as, like, the most, even if they're not the best team, most likely to beat LAFC because, you know, they're in the same city, It's a big rivalry. Ibrahimovic has turned it on for those games when they've played in the regular season. The thing with the LAFC, though, and I think they're winning the whole thing, Carlos Vela broke the record for most goals scored in a regular season. LAFC did struggle a little bit down the stretch. That's one I went to. I told you I went to that game, the LAFC Toronto game, and a lot of people I talked to were grumbling, I guess. I mean, they ended up drawing in the game against Toronto, got a late penalty, but they were kind of grumbling, like the fans felt like they lost some of the form that they had earlier in the year. So there's a possibility that there's a door open, but I'm still picking LAFC to go to the finals and to win the finals over the Red Bulls is my final prediction. But I feel the best about LAFC. I could see the Galaxy. Honestly, I could see them lose, LAFC losing to the Galaxy, Salt Lake, Portland, or Seattle, or Dallas. So really any team except Minnesota. I don't know why I don't like this Minnesota team so much. But
Yeah, I mean, it is the West, and the West has a lot more talent than the Eastern Conference does.
Well, yeah. So Matt, who do you think ends up winning it all?
I'm also going to say LAFC. New York is not going to have that home field advantage that they have had throughout the year. I just think LAFC is just the best team.
So that sometimes means it's going to be Minnesota versus DC United in the finals, based how it usually goes. Yeah. Cool. Well, that's our soccer preview. We got about 5-10 minutes left, Matt. Any soccer thing you want to add before? Do you want to talk about Pulisic and Chelsea real quick before we wrap up?
Yeah, we can talk about it, because I do think it's an interesting situation.
I'm pulling up the Premier League table, see where Chelsea's at, but just give a brief little rundown of it. Chelsea's in fifth right now. So Christian Pulisic, supposed to be the best American player. He has the potential to be the best American player ever, is where we're at right now. He's in his early 20s. I think he's 22, Matt, 23, 22, in that range. Something like that. Yeah, he's playing for a German team. Was playing for a German team for Dortmund.
Was
this summer moved over to Chelsea, English team, one of the biggest clubs in the world. So it's supposed to be a huge deal for him. Also moving to Chelsea this offseason is Frank Lampard. He was managing a smaller English team. Chelsea hired him to be their manager. He was I would say, legendary midfielder. Played there for 10 plus years. Had a great career at Chelsea. And he is just not playing Pulisic. And Americans are losing their minds, and I think rightly so. And honestly, I am, again, biased. I think Pulisic would be making a difference for a talented Chelsea team that should finish in the top four. But they've been everyone, honestly, except Liverpool and even City, I would say, has been disappointing so far in the league. But Chelsea should be performing better than they are. And I think Pulisic could be a step up to that. But what have been your thoughts? And you're a Chelsea fan, so you probably can follow it more closely than I do.
Yeah, I am a Chelsea fan. So the problem is, like, I do think that Christian Pulisic is very, very good. But I also just think that Chelsea is a very, very good team that has a lot of really good players. And so if you look up top, they've got Willian, who's going to play on the right wing, and he's probably their most talented player. And so you got to start him. And then you have Pulisic's not really going to play up top, especially because they've got this Abraham kid. Let me see if I can get his full name for you. But so yeah, Tammy Abraham. He's young kid, English kid, and so Chelsea, you know, like it or not, they're going to play the English kid if they have a choice, especially because that's not really Pulisic's position. And then the other guy that Pulisic could play for is a guy named Callum Hudson-Odoi, I think. I'm not sure how to pronounce that. But he's another young, talented English player. And if Chelsea has a choice between an English player and an American player, and they're about the same talent level, they're going to play the English player. And then you look where else you could play. You've got Pedro, Spanish guy, number 11. He's another wing player. And so that's a spot that I think if you're looking at and being honest, I think all three of those players are better than Pulisic is. And so to get Pulisic in, you're going to need to use two forward subs, which happens. I mean, forward is the position that uses substitutes the most. But yeah, I just think the other players right now are better than he is. And I actually didn't like this move for him, even though I'm a Chelsea fan, because Chelsea, they have a philosophy that let's get all of the young players that we can, and then we won't worry about developing them or playing them for us. So we'll keep them if we think that they're good enough to maybe come on as a substitute, which is what's happened to Pulisic. What usually happens, and what I'm kind of surprised hasn't happened, is they'll usually send them out on loan all over the world. I mean, Chelsea typically has more players on loan than any other team in the world. They're always in the top five for most players on loan. So the truth is, I think the fact that they haven't loaned out Pulisic is a good sign. Is it going to be hard with, until Willian leaves for him to break into the starting 11? Yeah, probably, but I think at least for now, being on that training ground playing for one of the best teams in the Premier League, it's probably good for him. I would rather have him playing for, you know, like a West Ham or something like that, or a team that's going to do good and be in the Premier League, but that would allow him to play. But, you know, I would rather have him not play for Chelsea than go on loan to the Netherlands and then just not develop the way that he could in the Premier League.
More nuanced answer than I ever could have given on that. So appreciate that. I like talking soccer. I don't feel like we talk enough soccer. It's just hard with like all the football season stuff going on.
Yeah.
Any closing words before we wrap up here?
Closing words? Not that I can...
Here's what we have coming in the pipeline for you, folks. There's an article about USC football that I'm done writing. Matt's edited. I'm just in the middle of a graduate school application right now, so that won't come out for a tad. But that's going to be a really good article. I'm excited about it. Matt, you like that article that you read, that USC one coming up? Well, I'm excited
for that. Yeah, I thought it was really interesting.
That's going to be on mjdoubletake.com, where all the writing is kind of a central point for the podcast writing, things like that. As we're wrapping up, subscribe, rate, review, 5 stars only. Really appreciate it. If you do it, let me know, either DM me, text me, whatever. If we're tight, let me know and I'll say thank you. Worst case scenario. Appreciate it. And we will be back next week. See y'all later.